Well, continuing to prove that we are in one of the craziest timelines of all time, I did not expect 3 hours of Hunter Biden talking about George Clooney, claiming that it was Ambien that made Joe Biden do such a abysmal job in the presidential debate that led to him dropping out. He did take some shots at some longtime Democratic advisors who have made a lot of money in the podcast world and consulting world. And if there's anything that Hunter Biden did that brought people together, I think it's that. Chris Saliza is with us at the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Chris, everybody liked the rip on the Pod Save America host and sort of the Obama consultant class. I mean, that brought the far left and the Trump crowd together. It was beautiful.
I feel like it's that and cursing or the two. He really put on a master cursing class in that 3 hour interview. And look, I've been a reporter for a long time. I mean, I've seen some real craftsmen when it comes to cursing. And my gosh, there was a lot of F-bombs. But yes, I mean,
we were going to pull a clip. I think Dan maybe did. Dan did pull a clip. This is what you have to do to play a clip of some of what Hunter Biden said.
I don't have to be nice. Number one, I agree with Quentin Tarantino. George Clooney is not a actor. He is a I don't know what he is. You. What do you have to do with anything? Why do I have to listen to you? What right do you have to step on a man who's given 52 years of his life to the service of this country and decide that you, George Clooney.
It's a lot of bleeps. Dan spent 45 minutes editing that to put all those bleeps in there. That is amazing.
Oh, my God. I mean, in one way, it must have felt terrific to absolutely blow everyone up, you know? Like, there's a lot of times I've wanted in my career to be like, who are you?
Right.
But I've resisted doing that. And, man, it must feel good. But, like, someone was asking me about this interview, and I said, yeah, it's obviously terrible, but, like, any time, if anyone says to you, whether you're a public figure or not, hey, man, you want to sit down for a three-hour videotaped interview?
let's go.
We say no. Nothing good will come out of that. I mean, also, they were outside. I mean, it's hot as hell here in D.C. I can't imagine sitting outside for 3 hours, but... And Hunter Biden had the, like, Steve Bannon homage outfit on, like the long sleeve T-shirt under the long sleeve shirt. Crazy. These are the things I focus on.
Right. This was Channel 5 is the name of this YouTube channel. And I don't know. I think everybody wants to hear what Hunter Biden has to say to a certain degree, but also no one cares. You know what I mean? It's sort of that weird, am I curious to hear his perspective? Absolutely. What do we do with this? I don't know.
I know it's hard because I do feel, and I think this is actually, joking aside, somewhat difficult because we know this is a guy who has struggled for most of his adult life with substance abuse issues. It's kind of felt to me, I did not watch all 3 hours. I mean, I got a lot of time on my hands, but not that much time. But I did watch like 40-ish minutes. I kind of had it on in the background. And then when he got particularly lathered up, I turned it up more. But it was kind of, it felt to me like going slow by the car crash on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it didn't, at the end of it, I wasn't like, oh, I was kind of like, oh, you know, like it had that feel to it. He's clearly not in great mental headspace.
Right.
You know, I mean, agreeing to do that and then doing it in the way that he did it. You know, I assume in his mind he thinks he's defending his dad. I mean, I would argue, you know, stuff like that actually hurts Biden's legacy as opposed to helps it marginally. And he clearly isn't helping the Democratic Party. I mean, the last thing they want to talk about amid day 15 of the Jeffrey Epstein memo scandal is what Hunter Biden said about the Pod Save America guys or George Clooney or, you know, I mean, anyone else that he took their head off of.
Right. Chris Saliza is with us. The only thing for me that I think is maybe worthy of a little bit of analysis is sort of the copium that is being ingested for this debate performance and for what I think so much reporting has made it very clear in the aftermath, and people can be mad at the media for not being more aggressive in the moment, but they also could acknowledge reality, and a lot of sources come out of the woodworks once somebody's already gone down. So the pile on is ready. But yep. It's pretty clear that Joe Biden, this was not just Ambien from a flight
Absolutely
that he
not.
Took like a week before the debate? Come
Dude,
on.
Dude, I went through the timeline because I kind of remembered, I had a vague sense of that, because if you remember back right after the debate happened, there was, I don't remember them all, but we are at least at 10 excuses now for what, like it was, he had a cold. The moderators were unfair. He was tired. The makeup people didn't do a good job. Yeah, I mean, there were so many, and this to me just fits into that. Like, look, I went back and looked at the timeline. He was back in Delaware on June 18th. The debate was June 27th. That's 9 days. Now, he's 80-plus years old. I think he was sick. I mean, he had been to Europe earlier in the month. He had been to Italy. He flew from Italy straight to L.A. to a fundraiser with George Clooney and Barack Obama. He then flew back east to a fundraiser right near where I live in Virginia with Hillary and Bill Clinton. And then he went to Rehoboth. So, yes, I get a couple days of rest and recovery there. But this idea that, like, he was given Ambien on those trips and therefore 8 to 9 days later was unable to perform at 9 p.m. Eastern time. In a debate, that just doesn't fly. It's like you said, if we had no other reporting, I think I'd still be like, that doesn't make any sense. I've taken Ambien before when I can't sleep. And yeah, I felt a little groggy the next morning, but I was fine by noon. But we have all this other reporting that has all these other episodes of people saying, oh, I was in a meeting with him 3 months before and he didn't right. recognize me. He seemed out. You know, I mean, context matters.
Chris Saliza is with us. You can read him on Substack. He's on YouTube as well. I want to ask about sort of the president's approach over the last couple of days, where it appears that he has just a giant bag full of nonsense, and he just starts flinging it when it's time.
I'll admit, I didn't think you were going to go with nonsense, but yes.
There's a bag of... He's got a, it's a very full bag. You can fill in
it's
the
a bag of spaghetti that he's throwing at a wall.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
That's
exactly
what he's
doing. I mean, it started with like the Redskins and the Indians need to change their name.
Goes back even to Rosie O'Donnell and her citizenship.
Rosie O'Donnell. I almost forgot about Rosie. It feels like a year ago.
Don't forget about the very convenient leak of the fact that the FBI was investigating James Comey and John Brennan, the former CIA director.
Yeah.
I mean, if you need red meat to distract the base, you would think that would do it. I mean, all of these things. I'm writing about this tonight in the newsletter for Substack, but like, why are we talking about Barack Obama again? So, you know, Trump was doing this big thing with the Prime Minister of the Philippines today, and he just goes off on like a 10-minute rant about how Barack Obama is really to blame for all this. He started the hoax with Russia. I'm like, dude, we're literally talking about like a decade, more than a decade ago. And by the way, none of that stuff he's saying is true. But yes, he is absolutely. He's going to all the old reliables like Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, you know, Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, this is like the Eagles playing their greatest hits at the concert to try to. You know, get the base. I was going to say people, but it's really the MAGA base to get them focused on something other than. Why did they say there was a client list and now there isn't one? What are they not telling us? You know, and it's still not working.
He called for a former President Obama to face criminal charges for treason. I mean,
yeah, I mean, he tweeted he truth-socialed a video, an AI video of him sitting in the Oval Office while Barack Obama was wrestled to the floor and arrested. I mean, like what?
Yeah.
It really does feel to me like, you know, the crowd at the Billy Joel concert is kind of restive and he's like, all right, I got to bring out Piano Man. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Is it working? Is it working for him?
I don't think so. And you know what? It's interesting because if we had talked yesterday at this time, I might have been like, maybe it's turning a corner because it's more about the fake news. And you can't see this on the radio, but I'm doing air quotes on fake news. You know, it's more about that, and they're all out to get him, But now, like, just in the last 24 hours, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is, like, you know, I always say the platonic ideal of a Trump supporter, coming out and saying, we need more, I'm not satisfied. You have the Republican-controlled House Oversight Committee saying they're going to subpoena Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, is she going to show up and talk? No, I don't think so. But that just provides more fodder for the story to continue lurching forward. And Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, it's like, oh, okay, well, we're canceling votes for Thursday and we're going on recess because he doesn't want to deal with it. You know, I mean, yeah. This is very much, this is an old basketball reference, but if you're old enough, you remember the time before the shot clock in college basketball. And North Carolina did this best under Dean Smith. They would run a four corners offense. They put guys in all four corners of the half court and just pass the ball around and stall, you know, until if they were ahead, until the game ended and the clock ran out. That's what House Republicans especially are trying to do. Like, well, we're going to disappear for 5.5 weeks and we're going to hope that this all goes away when we come back, because they don't have a good answer for any of this, and a lot of the base voters are angry.
Yeah. Well, they did release those Martin Luther King assassination documents, so.
I mean, yet another, hey, look over here, folks.
Well, here's some files. Maybe people won't remember that they're not releasing the files we're asking for. Chris Saliza, you can follow him on Substack. We love having you on. Thanks for spending some time with us, Chris.
Always, my friend. Have a good day.
Chris Saliza with us here on CCO. Drive Time back in just a minute.